Blog Talk Radio.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Rashid Salam, your engineer for today's show on the Muslim Global Special Message Roundtable. This is a special production this week. Our production also provides distinguished and esteemed guests who are making a difference in our community. The topic of this week's show is, during the month of Ramadan, we are offering a special presentation on fasting in the month of Ramadan while feasting on the Quran. I'd like to bring forth today your host and producer for today's show, Mark Shaheed. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, my brother. And Ramadan Mubarak.
Yes, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Well, Ramadan Mubarak to you, Rashid Salam, and to the IWDM radio listening audience. As always, I'd like to begin with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Ashhadu ilaha illallah wa la sharika lahu. Wa shahadu anna Muhammadin abduluhu wa rasuluhu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is, with the name of Allah, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer, all praise and thanks belongs to Allah, the nourisher, the sustainer, the guardian evolver of all systems of knowledge. We witness that there is none to be served nor worshipped except for one, Allah alone, and that he has no partners nor associates in his rule. We further witness that Muhammad ibn Abdullah, to whom the Quran was revealed in this blessed month of Ramadan, is indeed the seal of the prophets, and he is Allah's humble servant and his noble messenger. And what follows in the excellent salutation of the Prophet Muhammad, the prayers and the peace be upon him. I am Mark Shaheed. I'm the host and the producer of the MGM Roundtable, and that is the Muslim Global Message Roundtable. And I'd like to welcome you, IWDM radio listening audience, to this special edition. In lieu of Ramadan, we transpose and transition the Muslim Global Message Roundtable to Saturday afternoon to show the respect for believers that are fasting at the time that the MGM Roundtable generally would come on Wednesday evenings. So this is a special time only in the month of Ramadan, but after Ramadan is over, then the MGM Roundtable will return to its regular date and regular time, which is Wednesday. It'll be Wednesday, 7 p.m. Eastern and 6 p.m. Central and 4 p.m. Pacific Coast time. I always like to bring and present to you very distinguished, esteemed guests inside of our community and also outside of our community, and topics that are pertinent to us as a community. No less today, we have at the roundtable a very distinguished, esteemed guest, one of our very learned imams, Imam Munir Muhammad, who is the longtime resident imam of W.D. Muhammad Islamic Center there in Durham, North Carolina. He's also the national director of the Detroit National Annual Muslim Convention that's held each annually, I should say, there in Inkster, Michigan. One of my good brothers and friends. Hopefully he's there. Assalamu alaikum to you, Imam Munir Muhammad. Ramadan Mubarak.
Yes, 1 second. Ramadan Mubarak.
Oh, there he is. There he is. Ramadan Mubarak to you.
Ramadan Mubarak.
Okay. Rashid. Mute that mic, please. Thank you.
That's Imam Manu's phone.
Yeah, I'm.
No.
Can you hear me?
Yes, okay. We do hear you.
Rashid, the 423 number, just mute that mic. Thank you. Can you hear me, Imam Munir Muhammad?
Yeah, I hear you loud and clear. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Yeah, you need to elevate your voice a little bit.
Yeah.
Is there noise in your background?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm at a parade, and there's like 10 minutes left. I had to step in for you and park
okay.
over here. So I'm gonna listen to you for a few minutes, and I'm gonna put it back on mute so it'll be nice and quiet.
Okay then.
So
okay, thank you.
All right.
Okay. All right. Okay, thank you. Okay, we do apologize to our radio listening audience here, you know, because we always like to have a clear, a crisp broadcast with no noise in the background there and all. So today's theme and topic, which has been the theme for the last 4 years, even on the sister station where I hosted the CWSC Roundtable, fasting in the month of Ramadan while feasting on the Quran. In lieu of the fact that this is the month of Ramadan, we know that fasting is one of the five pillars for us as Muslims that we observe annually each year. And this is a prescription that Almighty God, Allah, gives to us. And it's an old prescription. It's not a new prescription. It's an old prescription. And who would know us better than our Lord and Creator? When we look at prescriptions that are given to us, you know, by doctors, and most of them have gone to doctors before, and they have prescribed different medications and different things for us to take for whatever it is that ills, for the different ills that we have, and sometimes they don't agree with us, and sometimes we have reactions to those the medication that they prescribe. But when we look at what it is that Allah is prescribing for us, there are no ill effects that come as a result of this. So Allah tells us in the Quran, in Surah Baqarah, O you who believe, fasting is prescribed for you as it was prescribed for those before you, so that you may learn self-restraint. And that Arabic, Quranic Arabic word is tatakun. Tatakun is a derivative of the word taqwa. Of course, the translation or the expression is so that you learn self-restraint. But you can't learn self-restraint nor self-control or self-management or self-discipline without being consciously regardful of Allah in terms of his guidance. This is very, very important. And so not only while we are fasting in the month of Ramadan, we are also reading the Quran. So, you know, Allah put it on my heart about 4 years ago, said, you know, what we are feeding on something. We are feasting on something, and we're doing it every day, daily. We're reading 1/30, it's called the Juz. We're reading 1/30 of the Quran each and every day. And each Juz, there's so much information that it is that we receive. And this is a unique fast in that we're just not only fasting and abstaining from food and drink, and if you're married, conjugal relations with your lawful spouse, but we also are fasting in terms of what it is that we are actually listening to, what it is that we're actually looking at, what type of spirit it is that we actually have, what it is that we're experiencing, and what it is that we're in touch with. I want to just say to Imam Munir Muhammad, and hopefully he can move away from that noise where he's at and everything, as we look at the five senses also being disciplined, if you will, or showing self-restraint in terms of what it is that we should be listening to. What it is that we should be listening to most is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah the Most High. When we are reading the Quran, Allah Most High is the only one that is speaking in the Quran. Allah is the one that is the author of the Quran. Regardless of all the different prophets and messengers that is mentioned in the Quran, all the different parts of creation that's mentioned in the Quran, the different beings, the angels, the jinn, and all that's mentioned in the Quran, Allah is the only one that is speaking as he is revealing to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa sallam his guidance for humankind. This is very important to note. So when we are fasting in the month of Ramadan, we should be fasting our hearing. And what it is that we are listening to should be on fast. There should be a self-discipline in what it is that we usually are listening to. So we most certainly as Muslims or conscious believers, we shouldn't be listening to denigrating music at any time of the year. But most certainly, our heightened awareness and consciousness and regard for Allah in this sacred, blessed month of Ramadan, we should be listening mostly to the Quran. That's very, very important. And what is it that we should be looking at? And what should be the insight or the perception? It should be trying to perceive what it is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving to us. We want to be able to receive and perceive. And that we don't perceive, we want to believe what it is that Allah is giving to us. I know that Imam Muhammad many years ago, he said to us, he said, you know, when I first started reading the Quran, he said, I didn't understand everything that was in it. He said, but I believed everything that Allah said in the Quran, and I didn't push back on none of it. This is very, very important. So I'm saying to our listeners that as you read the Quran, you won't understand everything that's in it. Allah gives us the composition of the book in Surah Ali Imran when he tells us that some of the ayats, they are explicit, they are clear. They're the basic and fundamental of verses or ayats, instructing signs of the book. That is the foundation of the book. And then he tells us there are some verses or ayats or instructing signs that are allegorical. They're implicit. And that only Allah knows and only those men or we should say minds that Allah has blessed with understanding. But they accept the whole of the book, and those who go after the allegorical or the metaphorical verses in the Quran before getting the basic and fundamental, Allah reveals that they have a perversity in their heart, and they seek to bring about discord. So with that being said, let's hope that our guest is in a quieter environment so we can get some type of feedback from him. If not, I'll continue to go.
5 minutes.
Okay.
I'm almost there. I'm almost at the Mexican. 5 minutes.
Okay. All right. Say another 5 minutes. So, in looking at these, senses that should be on self-restraint, we should be restraining them and disciplining these senses. We also have the nose where we breathe in air. Air is symbolic of the spirit that we take in. In the month of Ramadan, it brings about a certain spirit. There should be a certain spirit as we feast on the Quran. Words are container of ideas. These are the best words. These are the best words that we can actually have, that we can actually receive. We heard our beloved leader, Imam Worthy Muhammad, give us that's very, very well known today, that words make people. Well, words are a container of ideas. Every word is a container of an idea or a concept. But also with every word, there's a spirit that comes along with it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he was teaching Adam, he began to teach Adam in terms of breathing into him his spirit or putting into him his word, his concept. Imam Muhammad said that also spirit means influence. So when we are actually fasting in the month of Ramadan, we should look at what type of spirit it is that we have. What is influencing us the most? And it should be the glorious Quran. We should be taking on the spirit of that. And we should be taking on the spirit that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam had as Rasulullah, the messenger of Allah. There was a certain spirit that he had. He had a certain spirit before revelation. He kept in tune with his original nature, we call fitra. But after the revelation, then he began to be able and qualify himself to be able to teach the Quran and personify the spirit that the human being should have, having the right disposition. As we have been reading the juice in the Quran, Allah says that all human beings behave according to their own disposition. This is very important because we have to ask ourselves, what should be the disposition? What should be the disposition of us as Muslims or as believers, as a mu'min? And it should be that of a mu'min. It should be that of a Muslim. So this personifies as to who we should be, as the Prophet Muhammad is the model example, and that it becomes a gauge for us in terms of who we should strive to be like as we follow the Prophet Muhammad. He was Rasulullah, yes, because he did receive the word of revelation. That is irrefutable, that's indisputable. But he's also Rasulullah, he's also the messenger of Allah because of the demonstration of the word of revelation, the application of that. And this is something that in the month of Ramadan, that it should have such a profound impact and influence on our life, where it influences us so that when we go into the month of Ramadan, that one way we should not come out the same way. So that's the third of the senses. And then we have the sense of taste. And, you know, sometimes we use the figurative speech, I'm going to give you a taste of this or taste this. That is another word for experience. What are the experiences that we should have in the month of Ramadan? Should it be the same type of experiences that we had before entering into this blessed month of Ramadan? I said no, that the experiences should be different. And the experiences should be more in terms of with family and also with community. Those who actually are experiencing the same thing that you are experiencing. And then also the experience of those, you understand, that are less fortunate than ourselves. This is what the fast of Ramadan brings about. It puts us more in touch with those persons that don't have what it is that we have, don't know where their next meal is coming from, homeless people, those persons that are less fortunate than ourselves. And when we look at also everything that is in the month of Ramadan is amplified when we show charity and give sadaqah to those who are less fortunate. And by the way, those who are not able to fast, and the law sets the parameters, if you have a certain illness or terminal illness, or if you're traveling, then you are exempt from actually trying to fast. Allah does not want to have a hardship on any of us. So there are options that can be taken, and one of those options is feeding those who are in need. You can feed a person each and every day. And then when we do eat meals, you know, after breaking the fast, we call it breakfast, you know, the iftar, then it should not be an extravagant meal. It should be a very simplistic meal, the meal of a poor person, so that we can be even more in touch. And this gets to the fifth of the senses. You understand that we should be sensitized in, as we know that touch is over the whole body. And so we should be in touch more so with members in our own Jamaat, more so with members in our association, more so with the international Muslim community. At one time, me being a former member of the Nation of Islam, having come in 1967, we only fasted in the month of Ramadan. Ramadan was in December, in the month of December only. And, of course, this here was purposely designed for many of us that would have a Christian background. And the most, I guess, recognized holiday was Christmas. And so that was to deviate our attention away from Christmas, the Christmas holiday season. So the month of December was designated as Ramadan for us. And, of course, it was not in accordance with the world community of Muslims around the world. But it was only after Imam Muhammad became the leader, and then he made the necessary corrections, whereas that then we began to start fasting in the month of Ramadan with the world community of Muslims. So we thank Allah for our beloved leader, Imam W.D. Muhammad, in terms of actually giving us the insights and then helping us to recognize these five pillars, their social significance that they actually have, how we can actually benefit. The month of Ramadan actually helps us to prepare us for the fifth pillar, which is Hajj. It should be noted that Hajj is approximately 90 days from when Ramadan begins. And, of course, we know that it rotates through the four seasons that we have. And so as we see how the past few years, we were in the summer time. We was fasting 15, 16 hours a day. It was a lot hotter than it is now. So as Ramadan continues to move, you know, every 11 days, there's a difference about 11 days from the Gregorian calendar, which most of us observe, as opposed to the Hijra calendar, which is our calendar. And we need to learn more about that calendar. And also we won't be asking, when does Ramadan start? When does it begin? When does it end? And all. So let's see if our guests have arrived at his destination, because we want to get him in here and everything. So let's go back to him, Rashid Salam, and see.
His mic is open.
Okay. Assalamu alaikum, Imam Munir Muhammad.
Two minutes, and I'll be all yours, Mark. Okay.
Okay. All right. So, you know, I want to just say to our radio listening audience, if you just tuned in, you are tuned into IWDM Radio here, and you're tuned into the MGM Roundtable, the Muslim Global Message Roundtable. And the theme for this month, in the blessed month of Ramadan, is fasting in the month of Ramadan while feasting on the Quran. This is a theme that I've used for the last about 4 years, starting on the sister station AM 360. And I'm going to be discussing and dialoguing with Imam Munir Muhammad here. Hopefully, he said another 2 minutes here. And we do apologize to the radio listening audience in that regard, but hopefully some of the things that I'm saying actually are resonating with you. And I do want to invite those of you who may be listening for the first time, if you have a question, you have a comment for our guest when he does get on, or a question for me and some of the things you heard me say, I do ask you to press one. To come in the queue, and if some of the things that we are saying is resonating with you, please press 1. We'd like to hear from you. It's no more than just giving the greetings. And also, those who are listening in by way of the Internet, and I know we have quite a few people listening in by way of the Internet, for you to be involved in the conversation, in the communication, you have to dial into the studio. And that number is 714-816-4673. That's 714-816-4673. And you press 1, and engineer Rashid Salam will notify me that you have your hand up in the air, you have a question or comment, and we'll come to you with your question or comment. I want to just say this here, that I'm hoping and praying that all of us are having a blessed Ramadan, because, as I said earlier, everything is amplified, everything is multiplied, and what it is that we do, we should be striving to make more prayers, more beneficial prayers in terms of community prayers, as we said, to be more in touch with the believers that are doing the same thing that you're doing in this blessed month of Ramadan. We should be striving to give more sadaqa. Sadaqa is charity. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was reported as saying there's never a time in the believer's life that they can't give sadaqa. It was no more than just a smile. What I believe in the time, in this time that we are acknowledging Ramadan, that we can do more. We could do more than just giving a smile in terms of approval. We can think of things that it is that we could do for maybe community members. We can think of things that we could do for maybe our neighbor or our friends, and especially for those who are less fortunate. As we said earlier, you want to be in touch with those, because that helps to bring a social consciousness, a sensitivity for those who are underprivileged or less fortunate than ourselves. It is a good feeling if you never experience that old saying that when we grew up, it's better to give than to receive. The more that you give, the more that you receive from Allah in terms of the benefits. It's soothing to the soul to be a giver. And also, you know, at some point Ramadan will end. And of course, it's been traditional after fasting in the month of Ramadan, that gift giving is strongly encouraged. It should be special for our children, because many of our children, unfortunately, are not able to go to a Muslim school where Ramadan is actually celebrated through the 29, 30 days. Unlike in the secular world, where they go to school and they acknowledge their holidays, they're out for those days. They have celebrations and parties and all, you know, celebrating and acknowledging Christmas and Easter and Halloween, et cetera, et cetera. So we only have two major holidays, and it's very, very important, you know, as parents, as family, as community, that we really make it very, very special for our children, as they are great emulators. They see and they watch. They watch and they listen to what it is that we say, and they also watch what it is that we do. And it's very important that they hear the right things coming from us, but it's also very important that they see us doing the right thing. As they begin to grow in knowledge and wisdom and insight and learn more about the importance and significance of Ramadan, then it becomes very special to them. As they grow up in the right spirit, they grow up in obtaining more knowledge and insight and understanding how this can be a benefit to them in terms of controlling themselves, controlling their temper and all of this. You see, some people think that I didn't break my fast, you know, if I if I didn't eat, I broke my fast only if I ate something or I drank something. No, but Ramadan is bigger than that. If you allow somebody to break your peace, then your fast is broken. If you lose control of your temper, then your fast is broken. This is a fast that requires that you are totally in control, totally in control. And if and when you see that you're in an environment that may break your peace, or you see a discussion going from starting as a discussion going to a debate, soon to become an argument, then you are to dismiss yourself. You are to say to that person, I am fasting, and I don't want to break my fast. And it seems like that this is an environment that my fast could be broken. And so if that person don't acknowledge that, don't seemingly have a regard, a respect for what it is that you said, then at that point in time, you should just dismiss yourself. Just greet them, just say peace. If they don't understand the greetings of As-Salaamu Alaikum, which is an obligation, you understand, peace be unto you or peace be with you, if they don't acknowledge that, then you are just to dismiss yourself, just say peace, and just go on your way so that you can keep your fast intact. This is very important to note because oftentimes there are fasts where it's just dealing with the physical only. It doesn't deal with the other components that comprise the human being. The human being is not only a physical being, but the human being is a moral being. So this blessed month of Ramadan helps to ensure that we become even more morally conscious, in what it is that we say, what it is that we do. You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we just read, a couple of days ago in the juice, we read the Surah Al-Furqan, which is the criteria, the distinction between what is right and what is wrong, what is right and what is wrong. There are many names that the Quran is called by, and one is the criteria. It becomes the guidance to make that distinction. You know, when Imam Muhammad was teaching us about Adam in the garden, and what was given to him by Almighty God Allah was his command that anything that in the garden he was welcome to, you know, to eat of that, to partake of that. Now, this is not a real, real, real garden. So don't think about the garden that you're raising up and you got apple trees and peach trees and pear trees and all of that. But just look at garden in a metaphorical sense. And as it said in biblical scripture as well as Quranic scripture, there was a tree that was forbidden. It was forbidden to eat of that tree. And this tree is actually given a name. Is the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Okay? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us don't even approach the tree. In other words, don't even think about it. Don't even think about doing this. And simply put, this tree actually represents what it is that Allah knew that we would need guidance to be able to partake of. And that is determining right from wrong, good from evil. And we see that happening today as man began to think in the wrong way because he approached it, that tree, and he ate of that tree. And now we're seeing the results, even in terms of laws that are passed, that's not in accordance with what God's will is, what man has designed as law, LGBTQ, laws in terms of that. Whereas Allah says in the Quran that it's an abomination. There's many other examples that we see in society today where man is making the wrong decision because he needed guidance in that arena. So in terms of disobeying, now we're paying the cost, even in this life. So it's very important to note that the Quran is the criteria. It makes the distinction between right and wrong, good and bad. I want to say to those of you who may just be tuning in, I'll continue to say this because I know just like mainstream radio, you may come in at any point in time. So you are listening to IWDM Radio, and you're listening to the MGM Roundtable. That's the Muslim Global Message Roundtable. And I am Mark Shaheed. I'm the host and producer of it. And we still haven't gotten our special guest today, Imam Munir Muhammad. So let's go back to see if his availability. I may have to finish the show up by myself here. It looks more like that.
I'm waiting on you, brother. I've been waiting.
Hey, Mark.
I've been waiting.
Okay. All right, then. So we got Imam Munir Muhammad on with us, and want to welcome you to the MGM Roundtable, Imam Munir Muhammad. Always honored to have you here. I think this is your first time here on this new platform, the IWDM Radio. You've been with me there on the sister station, AM 360 Radio, and I don't know how much of the communication that you heard me talk about, but the theme is, fasting the month of Ramadan while feasting on the Quran. And
doing the interview.
Yes, sir.
Pardon me?
I'm listening. I hear you loud and clear. Go ahead.
Okay, yeah, so fasting the month of Ramadan while feasting on the Quran. So, Brother Imam, this is one of our five pillars, Siyam, fasting the month of Ramadan. This is something that Allah has one expression of the Quran says that it's a prescription, and it's designed to help us to become more God conscious. Like the Arabic term is tatakun, which is a derivative of the word taqwa. So, Brother Imam, would you give us a little insight in regards to that? This is a very unique fast indeed. There's so many different fasts that people undertake, and for different and various reasons, but the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in Hadith Qudsi, which is close to the Quran as you possibly can get, because it was something Allah revealed to the Prophet in terms of saying that fasting is for me. This Allah said to the Prophet. So if you would share your insight in regards to that, Imam Munir Muhammad.
Yeah. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Ramadan Mubarak. Apologize to you, Brother Mark, and your listening audience. I'm here in New York for my sister's wedding. I was yesterday, and I attended the Jail Ain't No Good march, and they began late, about 45 minutes, so I would have been finished. So I apologize, and I owe you 40 minutes in the future, God willing. And what you're saying, and this is in the blessed month of Ramadan, and what you had mentioned, the verse, listening very carefully to what you were saying, God says, "Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu kutiba alaykum as-siyamu kama kutiba 'alal ladhina min qablikum la'allakum tattaqun." So the word that you were referring to for taqwa is at the end. And the word for prescription is kutiba, from the word kitab, meaning that this is something very important. The word prescription, meaning God has prescribed it for you, but it's something that you have to engage in, like you engage the reading of a book. So you have to engage the concept. So the word siyam itself comes from the word psalm. Psalm literally means just to refrain.
But when you say Siam, now God wants you to refrain from food, drink, that which is lawful relations from sun up to sundown. And so everything that you said was very clear. So this process of, as you said, feasting on the Quran, the best way that you, a feast means is something joyous, something festive, something delicious.
Yes.
And only the Quran only becomes delicious and festive in our hearts, mind, and our spirits when we engage in it. And during the month of holy month of Ramadan is the time in which 29, 30 days, and you're not even obligated to do it. It's a highly recommended, it's a nafl, it's a highly recommended sunnah of the Prophet to read the Quran 29 to 30 days. The Quran is divided up in 30 parts. So if you read the 30th a day and you fast 30 days, you will have read the entire Quran. So then you're able to feast on that which now you have wet your mind with, because you said it earlier, which is very clear, that you're not going to remember every single thing that you read, but you will awaken in your heart and mind and your spirit. You'll become more sensitive to the word of God.
Yes. Alhamdulillah, that's excellent. You know, in terms of bringing a consciousness, and this is very, very important, as we are all the descendants of Adam, and this is how we, Adam got out of the garden. This is how we get out of the garden, too, when we become unconscious of God's word. Our beloved leader, Imam Worthy Muhammad, in terms of looking at feasting on the Quran, he was teaching us in regards to the first surah, the first complete surah of the Quran, which is Al-Fatiha, as you well know, the opening. And he was teaching us on these seven verses. Surah 15, Ayah 87, said the most often repeated verses of the Quran. And Imam Muhammad said that it is the essence, the Al-Fatiha is the essence of the book. It validates even our salat. If you don't know anything else, you have to know and learn the Al-Fatiha, as is the essence of the book, the core of the Quran. But it's, he says, also the opening, Brother Imam W.D. Muhammad said, it is the opening for the natural creation, which is, he said, the big book. It is the opening for the books that preceded it, being the Torah, the Old Testament, the Injil, the New Testament. But he said it's also the opening for the Quran. So in feasting on the Quran, the emphasis is put on Al-Fatiha in terms of how the Imam gave it to us. He said it's a commentary on the books that preceded it. And he broke it down to seven different stops that we have in Al-Fatiha. So, Brother Imam, if you would, please, how important is the Al-Fatiha, the opening surah of the Quran? That's where we begin. But it is so significant that it opens to us, as the fifth ayat that Imam said, Indina Siratal Mustaqim. This makes it not only the most often seven verses that are repeated, but this makes it also a dua that we're asking and requesting God's guidance. And the other 113 surahs of the Quran, they answer that request in Al-Fatiha. Imam Munir Muhammad, your insight, if you would, please.
Yes, the word fatahah, the word musta, means key as well. So
yes,
these are the key. These verses are the keys to unlocking the mysteries and the things that others have tried to close off. to you and I is so God has given us a key to unlock these mysteries so that we can have the victory in life. And so it's a key that opens up the possibilities for success in our life like God intends, and therefore it coincides with what our prophet taught us, that the prayer that is void of Al-Fatiha is a prayer that's null and void.
Yes.
So it speaks of the importance of being able to use, because also Al-Fatiha was revealed twice to our prophet Muhammad, the prayers and peace be upon him, once in Medina and once in Medina. And it's speaking to the material world that we live in, the social realm that we live in, and the spiritual world that we're trying to develop. So in order to be successful like God wants you and I to be successful, we have to utilize this key, this opening for victory in life, in your social life and in your spiritual life, which to become one human life. And,
yes.
You know, so you have the chapter 48. It's also called Al-Fatiha. And it's called
that's
the victory.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
this word, Fatiha, is given us various meanings. So Ali the Imam Muhammad was sharing with us different shades of meaning in order for us to have the keys to victory in life. And he also had taught so much on Al-Fatiha that he was giving us the verses and codes to break the code of those who wanted to keep us from
yes.
receiving the word of God.
Yes, alhamdulillah. No, that's excellent. No, you're spot on, you know, in regards to that, you know, as we look at that, you know, he and you'll hear some imams and some that are reciting Al-Fatiha that they don't say Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. And Imam Muhammad, you know, if we of his orientation as our teacher, he says that is the first ayah, that's the first instructing sign. No, it's like Allah introducing himself to the human creation that actually have forgotten that this is with Allah's name, that he's the most merciful benefactor, and that we are the beneficiaries of his the benefits that he give. All of this that we can see in the external world, his natural creation, we didn't have to do anything for that. Those things that we can't see what's going on inside of us, and we are part of the creation. But Allah didn't miss anything, you know.
Mm-hmm.
He's perfect in that. We don't even have to try to count how many times we have to breathe a day. We don't have to count how many times we blink. All of these things are naturally just done. And also, all of these are blessings. But Allah, as the Imam say, created the whole creation for his human creation. And he said, this is a mercy. He's the most merciful benefactor. So if you would, and then we'll talk a little bit about the other name or attribute that Allah introduces himself in Al-Fatiha to his human creation. Some insight from you, Imam Munir, on Al-Rahman, the most merciful benefactor.
Yes. Well, that's what how Allah induces himself in chapter 55 as the merciful benefactor.
Yes.
And Ali the Imam W.D. Muhammad said that his interpretation and his translation of switching from most gracious, most merciful, or most gracious, most compassionate was
mm-hmm.
the result of his study of Surah 55, which is called Surah Rahman, when
yes.
God introduces himself as the merciful benefactor. this is from the word Rahman. Rahman means mercy.
Yes.
But this attribute is paying respect to God as being the his part. His mercy is that we benefit from everything that he has factored into the creational order.
Yes,
so one portion. Yes, that's one portion of his mercy.
Yes. Yeah, you know, and Imam Muhammad went on to say to us that these two mercies, this is a means, or he referred to them as hands, so we know Allah don't have hands like we have hands. So metaphorically,
correct.
He was telling us that these are the two means in which Allah teaches us. And then he went on to teach us in regards to Al-Rahim, that Allah is the most merciful redeemer. And mm-hmm. one of the things that this does in terms of, as the Imam said, that the Quran is commentary on biblical scripture, and he gave us those C's that he gave us. He said it's a continuation of revelation. Mm-hmm. It's a confirmation for the truth that was in the books before the Quran. It's a correction. The third C is a correction for what was changed in it. And then mm-hmm. finally the fourth C, he said, it is a completion of revelation. So we was told, or some of us who had a Christian background before coming into this way of Al-Islam proper, we were told that Christ Jesus, the shedding of his blood, the giving up of his life, that the blood redeemed us, you know, not thinking, not asking the question, how was the human being redeemed before him, if that was what redeemed us. Imam Muhammad said that it is the second mercy. It is the second mercy, Al-Rahim. And he said he always has redeemed the human creation with his word of revelation. Imam Munir Muhammad, any insight in terms of this mercy that only Allah can extend?
Yes. Well, I mean, as Imam said, we follow the logic to its logical conclusion. And if God is the part of his mercy, is that he allows you and I to benefit from everything he has factored into the creational order to yield to you and I, then it's also a part of his mercy that he would redeem it and not place the burden on us to redeem it.
Yes, yes. So, yes, so this revelation, you understand, as we read in the Quran, we read early on, is that Allah shows us as the Imam called it, the template of Adam in the garden when he slipped, when he said he became unconscious, he forgot God's command. And then he met with a word from his Lord. He met with word of revelation. And then when he did, he repented. This is so very important as we talk about fasting in the month of Ramadan while feasting on the Quran. Inshallah, God willing, that the Quran is relative, as we see the Quran is relative to our life, that as we meet with a word that we didn't meet last year, that this would redeem us and make us more conscious, that we repent. You know, we should come into the fast of the month of Ramadan, Imam Manir. We may come in one way, but we shouldn't be going out the same way, Brother Imam.
Right, right. Well, that's a part of the, as Imam called the whole month of Ramadan, he called it the month of obedience.
Yes.
You know, and when you and I are trying to burn off those things that prevent us from being the excellent servant that God wants us to be, because that's what Ramadan means. It means to burn, scorching heat. So all the pangs of hunger and the cleansing of the mind and heart and body, and you know, part of that mercy is that. We get his mercy, we get his forgiveness, and we're free from our own appetites and passions as a result of being obedient to God.
Yes.
And we exercise great spirit of endurance, because the Ramadan is also considered the month of endurance.
Yes.
You know.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And our prophet told us the reward for entering in the month in faith and sincerity,
mm-hmm.
that God would forgive you your previous sins if you were to fulfill the prescribed period.
Yes.
So this
yes.
is a great motivation. Great motivation.
Yes. You know, it's ironic that you mentioned that in terms of burning, you know, burning off our shortcomings, errors, mistakes, or habits, bad habits we've gotten into, and even sin, and all, as you know, we're just entering into the last 10 days. Oftentimes, we speak of the first 10 days of being that of mercy, Allah extending his mercy, and it is a mercy. You know that he has not only prescribed, but as you so eloquently articulated, it's been inscribed also. It has been written, even in our fitra. We look forward to this each and every year. Believers look forward to this blessed month of Ramadan to be the beneficiary of the benefits. But then the next 10 days is that of forgiveness. And we just left the 10 days of forgiveness. The last 10 days often are not talked about, but when you said that, it just brought to mind that these 10 days become the days of emancipation, liberation, freedom, and deliverance from the passion, the fire of our own passion. You know, Imam Muhammad said this, I don't know if you heard him say it, but he said this to us. He said, you don't have to be so focused and worried about the hellfire. He said, because you need to be more concerned about the fire of your own passion and desire. If you get that right, then the rest of it will take care of itself, Brother Imam.
Yes, sir. No, absolutely. That's correct. And the ABC understanding of the looking for something else to be chained away from ourselves. We have to chain those things up within ourselves, and we should be able to do it after fasting for 20 days. And interchangeably, we know during those 20 days we receive God's mercy and his forgiveness, and it's only God's rule and order of which order he wanted to give it. He wanted to give us the mercy first. He wanted to give us the forgiveness first. We take it in any order God wills to give it to us. But we know that as a reward for being obedient to him, that in the first 20 days, we know we have experienced his mercy and his forgiveness.
That's right. Alhamdulillah.
So therefore, at the end, the last 10 days, we should have the strength and the endurance to be
mm-hmm.
able to get to where God wants us to get to, and that is to be blessed, and to get to where God wants us to get to, and that is to Jannah, the heavenly
yes.
blessed state, to be satisfied
yes,
and God satisfied.
Yes.
We satisfied with our effort, God satisfied with our effort. And if God chooses to call us back, then he will say, "What kudli Jannah," and enter into my paradise, because you're
yes.
pleased and I'm pleased.
Yes, sir. That's beautiful. Thank you so much, you know, for that. You know, as you were saying that, it came to mind that another one of the questions that I wanted to ask you, we know that Allah's word is true, and he fulfills all promises that are given to us. As we look at those first 10 days of being mercy, Allah extending his mercy, and then forgiveness in the second 10 days. Imam Munir, there should be an obligation on the believer too, while experiencing this in the month of Ramadan, receiving Allah's mercy and forgiveness. And as you say, this would prepare us if, in fact, that we're being obedient. And, of course, we just read 30-30 in today's Jews of those who are up on their reading in terms of that we were created on the same pattern as the rest of creation. And so it was asked, what is that pattern? That is the pattern of obedience. The whole of Allah's creation that he's created for the human being is in complete obedience. Nothing in his creation deviates from what his will is for it. It's in complete obedience. You don't see any chaos in the celestial bodies. You don't see any conflict. You don't see those celestial bodies fighting with each other, running into each other, and none of those type of things. So actually, it is a sign for those who reflect in terms of our obedience. But for the human being and that is fasting, consciously regardful of God, should not we be extending mercy to each other? Should we not be forgiving? Also, is that a sign for us in that regard? And that help us to liberate ourselves from the from our own fire passion, that we want to just continue to hold a grudge or not forgive, Brother Imam?
No, absolutely. I mean, it's, our prophet taught it very well. He said, how can the inhabitants of the earth expect to receive mercy from the one who is in heaven, yet they refuse to practice mercy amongst themselves?
Yes.
So how, and it's no different than the gentleman who had his hands raised to the heavens, constantly praying to God, you know, asking God for this and asking God for that. If you don't practice it yourself, how do you expect to get the great benefit of what you're asking for?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And, Brother Imam, would you say that mercy for human beings is a prerequisite to be able to forgive? You know, we've heard people say, I just can't forgive that brother. I can't forgive that sister or what. But being merciful, we can't be most merciful. Only Allah can be most merciful. But we have the capacity to show mercy and compassion. And shouldn't that be a prerequisite to be able to forgive? And this old saying that said that one that is able to forgive frees a prisoner, and that prisoner is themselves. Brother Imam?
No, you said it well. That's the prerequisite is if you and I want mercy from the one who is merciful, then we have to be able to practice it ourselves.
Yes.
And it's so different than forgiving. Allah is Al-Ghafoor. He is the forgiving. Because some of us have the ability to forgive and move on and it doesn't linger. Some of us forgive and say that I forgive you, but I won't forget. You know, this is why God is the forgiving. That he forgives, and then he trusts you to move on. That's why there's in Al-Islam, during this blessed month of Ramadan, the doing a good deed, that we're taught that if you do one good deed, you can get 10 to 700 times the blessing. If you do one bad deed, it only counts as one.
That's merciful.
So for business persons, those profits are astronomical. It's like how could you, refuse to improve and get better when you know that God is trying to do his work to make us better by giving us all these blessings, despite maybe we do one or two things, but we way ahead of the marker. So we just have to feasting on the Quran says to me that I'm going to be able to enjoy the message that God gives in the Holy Quran, if I'm obedient to him, and I practice, as he say, practice what we preach.
Yes.
You know?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. So mm-hmm. one of the attributes is Al-Ghafar, that Allah mm-hmm. is the forgiving, most forgiving. You know, as you, you know, saying that, it brings to mind in terms of going into Ramadan one way and then coming out, as you you said earlier, it's a cleansing, and it's often sometimes referred to as a rebirth. In lieu of, at the end of Ramadan, we have our celebration for those who are not Muslim listening in called Eid al-Fitr. I'm going to get you to give some insight on that, but want to say to those who may just have tuned in late, you are listening to IWDM Radio, and you're listening to the MGM Roundtable. That's the Muslim Global Message Roundtable. And the theme for this blessed month of Ramadan that Muslims are acknowledging and celebrating across the whole world is fasting in the month of Ramadan while feasting on the Quran. And my very special guest is Imam Munir Muhammad, the resident Imam of W.D. Muhammad Islamic Center there in Durham, North Carolina, is my guest. So if you have any questions or comments, this is your time to press 1. To be able to ask the question, if you're listening by way of the internet, you have to dial in to the studio. That number is 714-816-4673. We still have a little time. We're utilizing some grace period here. And for those that this information that you're hearing from Imam Munir Muhammad, if it's resonating with you, I'm quite sure he would welcome the believers just calling, giving the greetings, and just letting us know that what you're hearing is resonating with you, that you're benefiting from that. And all you have to do is press 1. And my engineer, Rashid Salam, will notify me that you're in the queue with your hands up. So please feel free.
No, you
have
him in the queue. You have a couple in the queue. Yes, sir.
Okay, so we got a couple of callers in the queue. Imam Munir, are you ready to take a question or comment from my listeners?
Yes, sir.
Okay. We'll go to...
All right.
Okay, he's all ready.
We have 810-610. Your mic is open. Please state your name and tell us where you're calling from.
As-salamu alaykum. This is the priest I'm calling from Flint, Michigan. A beautiful day here. Ramadan Mubarak to everyone.
Ramadan Mubarak to you, and assalamu alaikum to you, the priest of Hadi from Flint, Michigan. You have a question or comment for our guest, Imam Munir Muhammad?
First of all, I'm certainly, appreciating, and it's resonating with me in all you can Imam is stating here in the program today. But, you know, of course, it caught my attention even a little bit more closer when you make reference to the attributes and there to the Surah 1. And I just, it came to my mind that in also of those verses that we're remembering of, that we have also remember within the same Surah, Surah Al-Fatiha, Al-Muqit. Highly glorified is Al-Muqit, the sustainer. And we definitely have to remember that because that is a mercy because Allah sustains us. He sustains the entire universe in all of the world. But certainly he is sustaining us to have the ability to be able to make the Ramadan. He's given us the resources and things physically and mentally to be able to make the Ramadan to be a success as we are setting out to intend to have it to be. And so when you were mentioning the attributes, it certainly brought that to my mind,
yes.
And I just want to share that with everyone. I appreciate you so kindly. And assalamu alaikum to the brother Imam Muhammad. And to you, Salam Rashid, you know what? I love you so dearly. And I'm always your name kind of. I have so many the same one, but you know I love you because I make the name is intentional. But thank you so much,
no
Brother Mark,
Yes, ma'am. No, thank you. We appreciate you listening in, and we also appreciate you calling in, and I know that Imam Munir can appreciate that, as he's a student of the Quran, he's a student of the life example of the Prophet, and he's also a student of Imam W. Dean Muhammad. And I want to just say that the Priest of Hadi, she actually a very distinguished host herself on our sister station, AM 360 Radio, each and every Saturday evening. She hosts the Al-Islam in Focus Learning Lab, Al-Islam in Focus Learning Lab. And on her learning lab for a few weeks now, she has been teaching on the 99 known. You notice I said 99 known. So we don't ever try to define. We can't define Allah, because when you try to define Allah, you're actually confining Allah, and we can't do that. The 99 known attributes, there are other attributes, but they're not known. That these are some that are known. And also, let's make sure that we keep the language straight, because we can't define Allah. We only know what it is that he has revealed to us in terms of names and attributes, and all of them are beautiful names. So thank you, the Priest of Hadi. Press 1 as you go out of the queue. Anything that you like to say to the Priest of Hadi, Imam Munir?
Well, I just say, I say Ramadan Mubarak, and I'm glad you got on. My wife is with me, and she's from Flint, Michigan as well. And I believe that the sister was, I think I mentioned that to her before when she called in on one of the other shows I was on with you.
Okay.
Her name again? What's her name? What's her name again?
The Priest Hadi. The Priest Hadi.
Yes. Oh, okay. Okay. I had to mention her name to my wife again. But yeah, my wife is from Flint, Michigan. But what she said is very well received, and it's important to study. Allah says that He is known by the most beautiful names, and what
yes.
you said is the name you said known names, right? You know,
yes.
So Allah is He's also she mentioned the sustainer, but He's also El Mughani. He's the enricher, and
that's
He is
right.
El Muid. You know, Al-Mu'id is what we're about to experience after we finish these last 10 days, that he is
mm-hmm.
restore.
Restore.
Yeah.
Yes, this is beautiful. Yes, I really enjoy this. So, Rashid, I think you said we have another caller in the queue that want to ask a question, make a comment, I guess.
Well, we had a text that came in to me from the Internet. I listen often to your radio broadcast, and could you bring some clarity to the term Ramadan and beyond?
Ramadan and beyond.
That's a question for Brother Imam.
Okay.
I'm not understanding.
Well, you're not understanding
Ramadan
that in terms of they need to be a little bit more clear. I'm thinking. You know, if that person is texting in and they're saying Ramadan beyond, the only thing that comes to my mind is after Ramadan, what is it may be, is it that can and should stay with us? If that's the question, then it makes a little bit more sense, but Ramadan and beyond, it's a little void there. So
it looks like this is a response from our earlier show that we had on the show Ramadan and Beyond, and I think that's what the person is trying to share. Ask, you know, can you give some clarity to Ramadan and Beyond? You absolutely could. After Ramadan is over, yes.
Oh, okay. So, Brother Imam, I think the question is that after Ramadan ends.
Okay.
We go
I got it.
Beyond
I got it.
Ramadan.
I got it.
What is it?
Okay. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, well, I mean, what you said earlier, that after 29 to 30 days of under
mm-hmm.
discipline and this annual overhaul of obedience,
mm-hmm.
sincerity, and endurance,
mm-hmm.
why would you throw those 29 to 30 days away and just go back to an undisciplined
mm-hmm.
unrestricted life. So the prophet taught us that life is about balance too. So after Ramadan, he encouraged us to fast 6 days in Shawwal, because after you celebrate, you may lose a little of that discipline. You may fall off the discipline. So then after you fast 6 days in Shawwal, and it says that if you were to do this, which is you're not obligated to do it, it's a highly recommended sunnah.
Yes.
That God will forgive you your sins again. So you fasted during the month of Ramadan, and you completed it like God said. God will forgive you your previous sins. Then you fast 6 days after Shawwal. Then God will forgive you your sins, you know. So now you are back. Now you're back at what you mentioned, the verse that you mentioned earlier about the fitatullahi fatananasa ali, that Allah says, and is the nature upon which he have created all of humanity.
That's
what is
right.
that nature? Labdi labdikalkillah. In Imam Muhammad's translation, let there be no change in what God has created.
That's right. That's
so
right, brother.
If God gave, God gave you all of this, gave you the prescription, the inscription, and now here's the practical application to stay upon this without having to do the fast of David, without having to do something extra, another extra month of Ramadan, you know, without going to another extreme. Fast 6 days in the month of Shawwal to get your mind, your heart, and your spirit right, so that you can enjoy the blessings that God intends for you to have.
Yes, alhamdulillah. That's well said.
Brother Mark. I just got
yes,
text back, and the text was, Allahu Akbar, you more than answered my question.
Allahu Akbar, alhamdulillah. Yeah, that means that for our radio listening audience, that Allahu Akbar, this glorification of Allah, just saying Allah is greater, Allah is bigger, and Allah is more important, because without Allah's guidance, we wouldn't be able to say that. Imam Munir, we give all the praise and thanks to Allah. We don't want none of it. We're just mediums that Allah uses as servants. So Allah is greater, and he's bigger, and he's more important. So we thank the listener for listening and texting in. Any other callers in the queue, or Rashid Salam, do you have a question or comment?
Brother Mark, can I say something about Akbar, what you just said?
Oh, no, go ahead, Brother Imam. Yes, sir.
Yeah. Akbar is not to give a grammar session, but akbar is the fourth measure of the verb. And it means that not just that God is bigger and greater. Why is he bigger and he greater? Because he is the main source.
Yes.
So it says
yes.
So in the main focus, the main reason why we're doing what
we're doing.
So when we say Allahu Akbar, we're not just saying God is bigger and God is greater. We're saying the reason why he's bigger and he's greater, because he is the main focus.
That's right. And that's something Imam Muhammad really put a lot of emphasis on, because sometimes the human being can lose focus. It has to be refocused. And he said that when we say it, it should refocus us back to that God is greater. God is big.
Right.
God is bigger than anything that we think is big. We say, that's big. But God is bigger. That's the focus.
Yeah.
What we think is important. And there are important things. But Imam Muhammad said to prioritize the importance is that God is more important than anything. Anybody. Okay, you said this is an important person, but God is more important.
He's the primary reason for this.
He's the primary reason. Yes. Yes, that's
He's
right.
The primary
that's right.
reason for the success.
No, mm-hmm. I'm glad you said that, Brother Imam, because it's a reminder to make sure that our focus is always on God first, and He's mm-hmm. like you said, the primary reason. You know, because it keeps everything else in check. It keeps us in check too.
yes.
It keeps
a humble
us in check. So when we say it, we should be the first one to hear, and it should resonate within our own mind, heart, and soul in regards to what it is that we're saying. So thank you so much. I appreciate that in terms of giving more clarity to what it is that we're saying. And so this is something comparable to what our Christian brothers and sisters say, that God is at the head of their life and all primary reason. And he gives us purpose, gives us our purpose, a collective purpose, which is to worship God, to serve God. Amen. Muhammad say that Ab means to not only worship, but it means to serve, and he said to work for God.
Mm-hmm.
And that servitude is in the very fitra, the very nature. And we can see it in children, you know, Brother Imam. You know, when children get to be like 3 or 4 years old, they want to know, Mama, can I help? Can I do this? Can I do Daddy, can I do this? Can I, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Servitude is in the very nature, the original nature to want to serve. Now, the question becomes, who and what it is that we serve. So this is very, very important, that introduction and the focus, the main cause and reason is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Most High. That has to be imprinted in our children's mind early on, you know, that we are servants and we serve God, we worship God, through service, but we also worship God through work. And the Prophet Muhammad said that work is worship. So very, very important. So thank you so much for that. There was a question that I was about to ask before we had the callers in the clip. I know what it was. It come back to mind. In terms of a clean slate, also we look at this pillar as actually we can look at all of the pillars, really, but particularly this pillar is sometimes looked at as a rebirth, for the human being. Brother Imam, you share some insights in regards to that as Ramadan will end in approximately 10 days from now, and we'll be celebrating Eid al-Fitr. This is a recurring happiness, and of course something recurring means that it had been before, and then a fitra of the original nature. Could you share some insight with our radio listeners in regards to that?
Yeah, the once we are blessed to complete the month, the prescribed period, that God said that he intended for us to complete, not to make it difficult for us, that the Eid, as you mentioned earlier, the Eid al-Fitr is a celebration of the individual being able to overcome their own appetites and passions and adhere to what God wants for us. And so once God gives us that victory, he instructs us to remember him in prayer. So this is how the Eid begins. We offered the prayer, and then the believers listen to the khutbah, the reverse order of Friday on Jummah. On Jummah day, you listen to the khutbah, then you offer prayer. On Eid day, You do what? You offer the prayer
first.
Then you listen for a reminder to guard what you just engaged in. This is a part of the rebirth. And Imam Muhammad, he even challenged the other schools of thought. He said, you know, the tradition they taught us to do seven takbir first, then five takbir. And then you begin the khutbah, you do nine, which marks that rebirth because of a mother with a goal of full term with a baby, it'll be how many months? Nine.
Mm-hmm.
So you begin the celebration of the victory by giving nine takbir before you begin the khutbah. Right? So Imam Muhammad turned it around. He said, no. He said, the fact that we have achieved this victory by God's mercy and have overcome our own passions and desires and have made our spirit, our jinn, submit and become Muslim.
Mm-hmm.
He said, now your five senses are in tune with your very soul. So
yeah.
In the first rakah, you do five takbir.
That's right. That's right.
And now that your five senses are open and are in tune to your soul, now you can reach the heaven in your life like God intended, and he gave you the picture of the seven heavens.
Yeah.
So now you do in the second unit, you do seven takbir.
Hello, Akbar.
Of the raising of your hands.
Yes. I'm so glad that you're saying this, Imam Munir, so that those who are listening who say that they're in association with Imam W.D. Muhammad and the madhhab that it is that he has given to us, and
mm-hmm.
you just so excellently articulated what Imam Muhammad told us and said to us, and there's the one thing that I know you agree with in all the students of Imam W.D. Muhammad, whenever he would say something to us in terms of correction, he would give you the hikmah. He would give you
mm-hmm.
the logic and the rationale for
mm-hmm.
what it was he was given. He just didn't just say something and just leave it as a blanket. He knew that
mm-hmm.
we did know, and he knew that
mm-hmm.
many of us would be following our immigrant brothers
mm-hmm.
and it just would be a ritual. We'd be just following blindly and remain ignorant of what it is that we're doing. But just as you so eloquently articulated in terms of those five being the five senses
mm-hmm.
and being first and
mm-hmm.
And not being second in the second rakah, this makes a lot of sense, what the Imam had given
mm-hmm.
to us, and that's why it's so very, very important. I'm just saying, you know, you're not compelled to become a student of Imam Muhammad, but I think that you would be doing yourself a great service, you, your family, and your community, by becoming a student of Imam W.D. Muhammad in terms of studying him, because Allah truly blessed him with great insight and great wisdom. And nobody else gave that to us. Allah blessed him with it, and he freely gave it to all of us, those that was listening and those that may not have been listening. This is the time for you to start listening and start responding.
Mm-hmm.
Imam Munir.
I say, I mean, you know, I mean, our leader, God has blessed us to have a leader who, as you mentioned, not only would tell us to do things with his tongue, but he would demonstrate with action.
That's right.
He would share with us the wisdom that God has blessed him, why he has come to the conclusion that he has come to. He would
That's
share
right.
that wisdom with us when he didn't have to.
That's right.
You know? And
mm-hmm.
and just like the other schools of thought, they were established after those leaders passed away. So I'm not telling the Muslim community under Imam W.D. Muhammad to do anything. I'm just saying that you have his transcripts, you have his recording, you have his
books,
leadership conferences, his books, his
mm-hmm.
transcripts, and it's there.
Yes. See, not only did he say it, but he demonstrated it.
That's right.
You know, and you know, some communities can come eat. They'll do 7, 5, and 9. You know.
Mm-hmm.
But every time we do it, and we do 5, 7, and 9, and we explain it, even those who felt that they know more than us, they yield.
They do.
You know, because this is coming from the people don't like the language, but we have to use their language so they understand what we're talking about. The method in which we follow, meaning the school of thought in which we follow,
yeah,
is Imam W.D. Muhammad.
That's right. And you know what? We're not ashamed, nor are we embarrassed to say that, you know, and those persons, you know, sometimes say, oh, Marcia, he's always talking about Imam W.D. Muhammad, and I will continue to say that
mm-hmm.
because he is my leader and my teacher. I learned from him. I don't try to take any credit from that.
Mm-hmm.
Imam Muhammad didn't want us to be a parrot. He didn't want us to be a parrot. He wanted us to understand what he was saying and put it in your words. But
mm-hmm.
I can't forget my leader and teacher. I mean, without him, I wouldn't even have a glimpse of these things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to know had it not been for the blessing that we received in Imam W.D. Muhammad. So we say all praises is due to Allah for blessing him and blessing this community, but blessing the whole world, because we're not the only beneficiaries of this. There are many, many
mm-hmm.
people
mm-hmm.
outside of this ethnic group that we have. He stayed with us. He didn't have to. There was many offers that was made to him
mm-hmm.
by other ethnic groups to come and become their leader, but the Imam chose to stay with us. And I think that if, in fact, that those who came late and not aware of that, we should always preserve our history, our story, so we can tell our own story, our own history, and have it recorded in regards
mm-hmm.
to that. So this is very important because this helps to prepare us to not only become leaders for ourselves, our community, but this helped us become world leaders. Imam Muhammad said that he gave to us, he said it could be here for at least a minimum of 1,000 years. So, and there's so much that he's given to us. So we thank Allah for Imam W.D. Muhammad. And I want to give you, Imam Manera, as we wind down here, I want to give you an opportunity to leave whatever closing remarks that you would like to leave our radio listening audience, and want to say that we're approaching almost the month of May on the Gregorian calendar, and of course, as I said earlier, that you are national director of the Detroit National Annual Muslim Convention that's held each and every year there in Inkster, Michigan, Labor Day weekend. And before you know it, we'll be right up on that, and I'm quite sure the planning has already started, and praise be to Allah
mm-hmm.
that even the 2 years that it was announced that, you know, it had the COVID situation and everything, it didn't intervene and interrupt having the convention. It was held outdoors. So if you want to take a few minutes to leave any information or contact information, website information, and
yes.
any parting words, I would appreciate it. Imam
Mark,
Manera.
Okay. Yes.
You have
no,
a couple hands
you.
Raised.
Huh?
You still
say
had
what?
A couple hands raised. I said you still had a couple oh, hands
okay,
raised.
Okay,
you
I thought that.
No,
okay, well,
let me speak.
I want to say to the callers that have in the queue, I need you to be very succinct. If you have a question or comment, let's keep it to a minute. I'm going to ask Imam Manera if the response to be very succinct because we do have to wind it down in a few minutes here. So let's go to the callers. Be very succinct. A minute or less, please.
Okay, you have 636-383. Your mic is open. Please state your name and tell us where you're calling from.
Abdul Rahim Sabir from Winston, Missouri. Assalamu alaikum and Ramadan Mubarak.
Alaikum assalam.
Alaikum assalam.
And I'd just like to thank the guest, Ma'am Munir, for the insights he's given on why we do what we do instead of just going through rituals.
Yes, alhamdulillah. And Brother Imam, you know who's speaking here. This is Brother Sabir, the widower of our beloved sister Farida Samad Siki.
Oh, a good friend of ours.
Yes, alhamdulillah. The one that you gave the award to last year.
Award to, yeah. Assalamu alaikum, Ramadan Mubarak.
Wa alaikum assalam, Ramadan Mubarak. And I'm looking forward to working on the Inkster DNA.
Yes, sir. We look forward to you joining us, and we know that we can count on you. We appreciate you.
Alhamdulillah. Well, thank you so much,
and
Brother Sir.
And we're praying for you, too, you know, you and your family.
Thank you.
Alhamdulillah. Thank you so much, Brother Sabir, for calling in. Assalamu alaikum. Ramadan Mubarak. Press 1 as you go out the queue. Okay, so Rashid, let's go. Who else we have in the queue?
The one hand that was raised is dropped, but I do have one more text. And it was just a thank you text from one of the listening artists on the Internet. Thanking you for the input on our annual overhaul. It was very enlightening for our month of obedience. And I just wanted to say, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And that was all we have, Mark.
Okay, good. I like that annual overhaul.
Yes, sir. You got me, too. I wrote it down.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of my notes.
Hey,
okay,
man, I'm just a student of the Imam. I just try to share what he has given us. That's it. I ain't trying to steal nothing.
Well, you're doing a good job, Brother Imam, and may Allah continue to bless you, your family, your community there in Durham, and the community at large, and all the work that you do. And should be noted that periodically throughout the year, as they continue to work on the property that has been purchased there in Inkster, Imam Munir Muhammad, he heads and leads a crew that meet up there, and they go to work, they roll up their sleeves, and they just go to work. Whatever needs to be done, they get it done in preparation for the convention, and even not for the convention, but just things that need to be done. It's a beautiful site, properties and all that have been bought and paid for in full. If you haven't been there, you owe it to yourself, you owe it to your family, you owe it to your community. This is something, I'm not telling you what I think, I'm telling you what I know. And Imam Munir Muhammad can attest, it's been there 4 years. I think this will be the fifth year in a row. And there's a special feeling being on and in property that is ours. This is something Imam Muhammad asked and requested from Imam Ezekiel Pasha, who's a resident Imam at Malcolm Shabazz there in Harlem, New York. And he agreed that he would do that, has delivered on that along with other believers. So this is ours. And so if we want to be in accord with the Imam's desires, his wishes for this community, you owe it to yourself. You owe it to your family. You owe it to your community to visit, to just go and visit. See it for yourself. Don't get it secondhand. Don't take my word for it. Don't take Imam Munir's word for it. Come for yourself. So, Brother Imam, I'm going to give you a few minutes to whatever parting remarks that you'd like to leave with our radio listening audience and any information that you would like to leave with them at this time. It's all yours.
Yes. Well, thank you. Thank you again for having me. The website for the Muslim Convention is www.dnamuslimconvention.com. dnamuslimconvention.com. And you can, you know, register for the convention. And you can go to the website for our skating rink that is up and operational now. It's operational from Wednesday to Sunday. Monday and Tuesdays are work days for us to work and, you know, get things fixed up and cleaned up, what have you. But it's fully operational, open to the public, open to schools, open to parties. And private family rentals from Wednesday to Sunday. And you can go to InkstaFamilySkatingRink.com. Inksta, I-N-K-S-T-E-R, FamilySkatingRink.com to see the happenings of what's going on there. And so as Brother Mark mentioned, these are things that Imam Muhammad asked of us. In the pursuit of continue to build model community life, to bring the energy and the spirit to the land, and that's what we need. That's how you best feast on the Quran, is to put it into action, put it to work.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
No, so, thank you. Yeah, thank you for that. And like I say, you know, don't take my word for it. You know, I know many believers have felt pent up for two-plus years and everything, and, you know, they're lifting this here, not only locally but also nationally. Go ahead and make that plan to say, well, I'm going to go to Inkster. I want to experience this for myself. You know, I heard what Imam Munir said. I heard what Mark Shaheed said. But I want to go for myself. And it will be quite an experience for you and everything. And those who, especially those who were in the first experience in the old nation of Islam, leader of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, we must do something for ourselves. And Imam Muhammad said, the good things that my father taught you, he never told us to abandon those things. We must do something for ourselves. So I would say that they are practitioners of this. You know, you can't, the reality of having a material reality is very, very important. Other than that, Imam Muhammad say, the people will look upon us. We'll like be like spook people. We will just be talking, but we won't have a darn thing to show. We'll be spook people, you know. Mm-hmm. See, so I know I was impressed in 1967. Some of you weren't even born just listening in when I came into the Nation of Islam. And what impressed me was the businesses that we had. You know, looking at good, clean, upright brothers, suited and booted, and sisters clean, very mannerable, very respectful, and all of that, courteous and all. These are things that we still should maintain. And he said we would never get the respect of other people until we begin to do something for ourselves. So that still prevails today. I want to thank you so much, Imam Munir Muhammad, for being my special guest here on the MGM Roundtable. You have an open policy, inshallah, before the beginning of the DNA Muslim Convention 2022 this year. Inshallah, look at trying to get you back on. At that time, I'm quite sure you'll have a lot more information that you can share with the radio listening audience in terms of why they should be there and not hear it secondhand. Thank you so much, my brother, and may Allah continue to bless you, your family, and the community there with Ramadan Mubarak, and I pray Allah that our fast is accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and that we benefit greatly as a community. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam, Ramadan Mubarak, and Eid Mubarak if I don't hear from you before then.
Yes, sir. Alhamdulillah. Thank you. Eid Mubarak to you. And there you have it. You just heard a special session of the MGM Roundtable. That's the Muslim Global Message Roundtable. Our very distinguished, esteemed guest, a good brother and friend, Imam Munir Muhammad, longtime resident Imam W. Dean Muhammad Islamic Center there in Durham, North Carolina. He's also the director of the Detroit National Annual Muslim Convention that's held each and every year in the city of Inkster, Michigan, at Labor Day weekend. So please make plans of being there. Don't let nobody tell you about it. Go for yourself and experience it for yourself. You'll have a very unique experience on being on your own property, and all the property is paid for. We owe nothing on it.
Mm-hmm.
Paid for cash money. Now, where you hear African-American people purchasing something with cash money? Imam Muhammad was a wise, wise leader, and he knew who to give certain responsibilities to. He gave it to Imam Ezekiel Pasha, one of our premier businessmen in this association, Imam Muhammad, who's a resident imam there in Harlem, New York, Malcolm Shabazz Masjid in Harlem. So you don't want to miss that. So start making your plans now. I want to say to the IWDM Radio listening audience that tomorrow, you know, IWDM Radio, we will have the longest-running production, which is Words Make People, with a very distinguished, esteemed host, Imam Michael, a.k.a. Mikhail Sahir, longtime resident imam of Al-Nur Islamic Center there in Indianapolis, Indiana. You always have very intriguing guests and topics that are pertinent to us to discussion. And that happens every Sunday afternoon. It's 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's high noon Central Standard Time. And it's 10 a.m. Pacific Coast Time right here on IWDM Radio. And at the beginning of the week, we have the most recent but a fast-growing production on IWDM Radio with the very distinguished, esteemed host, Rashid Salam, who's engineering for me, and his recurring guest, Instructor Abdul Shaheed, on the science of your health and you learning lab. This learning lab, you have to bring a pen. You have to bring paper because there's going to be terminology and information that is noteworthy that you're going to want to ask a question or make a comment. So bring an open mind, an open heart, and learn about the science of your health and you. Seeing as how that you are part of God's creation, you should want to know as much as you possibly can. So this is the production, this is the learning lab that you should be tuned in. And it's on the Ramadan schedule, so it'll be this Tuesday, only for the month of Ramadan. I think this will be the last Tuesday. It'll start at 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 4 p.m. Central Standard Time, and 2 p.m. Pacific Coast Time right here on IWDM Radio. And then on Wednesday.
Sister Marcia wanted me?
Okay, close that mic. Close the mic. Okay. And then on Wednesday, it's a Sister Learning Lab, which is the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. That's heard each and every Wednesday, and it's on the Ramadan schedule time, only for the month of Ramadan. It begins at 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 4 p.m. Central, and 2 p.m. Pacific Coast Time. The Parent Family Reconstruction Learning Lab with my very distinguished and esteemed co-host and co-facilitator, Dr. Patricia Slow Dean. She joins yours truly, Mark Shaheed, each and every Wednesday, and we'll be returning back to our regular time after the month of Ramadan. So tune in this Wednesday. Take notes. If you're in the Eastern Standard Time Zone, it's 5 p.m., 4 p.m. Central. If you're in the Central Standard Time, at 2 p.m. Pacific Coast Time. And last but not least, it is the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab with the very distinguished, esteemed host, Quran Shakira, who's from the Jewel of the South there in Atlanta, Georgia. She joins yours truly, Mark Shaheed, on the Ramadan schedule. It's 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 4 p.m. Central Standard Time, and 2 p.m. Pacific Coast Time here on IWDM Radio. Those times are only for the month of Ramadan. After Ramadan is over, the Science of Your Health and You Learning Lab, the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab, the MGM Roundtable, the Muslim Global Message Roundtable, and the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab will return to their regular times after Ramadan. So stay tuned for that information. So I want to thank our radio listening audience for listening in, and want to really thank those who actually pressed 1 and called in, because without you, there can't be IWDM Radio, and there can't be an MGM, Muslim Global Message Roundtable. And a special thanks go to a very distinguished, esteemed engineer, Rashid Salam, always right there on the job, and appreciate him greatly. So until next time, this salam is for you and yours. May God's peace be with you now and always. And a blessed Ramadan to you as we are in the last 10 days. May Allah accept our fast and bless us with many barakats, many, many blessings. Assalamu alaikum wa Ramadan Mubarak.
Wa alaikum assalam wa Ramadan Mubarak, my brother.